Pacifico's Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we take you places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. We're online at philhendryshow.com. We have our live video cast of the show right now, Phil TV in HD, and that means high definition. It's a high-definition thing, baby, you know. It's just, it's well-defined, and it's high.
What does that mean?
High definition means something. It means something to people to know what high definition means. It means it looks good, okay? And that's what we got. We got something that looks good. We're also, of course, on a great many affiliates across the country, well over 150,000. I don't know. I've lost count at this point. There's just so many. And no, seriously, go to our website and you can see a list of all of our affiliates, well over 120 affiliates. And other ways of enjoying our show, including our podcast. Get a backstage pass to our website, and you can enjoy us in a multitudinous fashion. 877-876 is the number here in the Phil Hendry Show to call in and to join us. Now, tonight, a couple of discussions will be underway. One of them's not going to be too comfortable, but we're going to get into it anyway. And that's with Vernon Dozier, a high school educator in Glendale, California. He is also on the board at Belmar Academy. And we're going to talk about one thing, actually, that just broke today. And it's a never-ending story. You know, we had Penn State. Now we have a story here about Dutch children being sexually abused by Catholic priests. Vernon is with us. And you've been basically a high school educator, Vernon. You don't deal with kids. And by that I mean elementary school kids, but you are getting those elementary school kids at the high school level. What do you see when they come in, when it comes to their willingness to talk about these things or the ramifications of having been affected this way?
Well, you know, Phil, the only thing you can do is, you know, if there is an issue, you talk to a counselor, you talk to, if it gets to a point where you have to take it outside the school, you get a psychologist involved, and at some point you have to get the parents involved too. I mean, almost immediately. But sometimes these children are not expressive, or they're not acting out at home, or they'll act out in school, and you find out there has been something like this. We are a private institution, and we do have a Catholic priest who chaplains our Catholic students, and we have a Protestant pastor, but we're non-denominational. And so the only thing that we can do is certainly, you know, reference the child and the family to a psychologist. But to hear about these kinds of things at this time of year is so traumatic that you wonder what you can do.
But you guys have come together at your school, and you have some kind of a think tank?
Well, we were trying to think of ways to stop this cycle of abuse. I mean, we've got the Penn State situation, which is sickening enough. Now the story here today in the L.A. Times, tens of thousands of Dutch children sexually abused by priests and other Roman Catholic religious figures in the last 65 years. Now, this is not local, not germane to the United States necessarily, but it gives you an idea as to the scope of this problem, which is what we saw early on in the part of this decade where we had the Catholic priests. And at this particular time of the year, when you are at home with your family, and it is the Christmas time of year, and I was with my wife and a couple of my kids, my kids by my first wife, and we were watching this film. I don't know if you've seen it. I'm sure you have. It's a Christmas movie.
It's a Wonderful Life.
It's the woman, a priest, that's going my way with Bing Crosby. And I'm watching this film, and I began to make some notes. And it dawned on me as I was watching this and watching how much my family was enjoying it that it's very seductive. So I made some notes, and I took them back to school, and I met with a couple of the teachers before class, kicking this around, and I said, I think that when we're dealing with the problem of children being sexually assaulted, and at the same time, there's a Christmas movies, and these priests are on the movie, and I said, this is, I think, the beginning, not the beginning, but it's an area where you start to subtly manipulate an individual into trusting them. And so I don't quite know how to go about this, but I think if we're going to see at the holiday time of year anyway, movies about the season or about, you know, religion or God or what have you, I would just as soon not see these films that have priests in them. And I know it's very difficult to...
What you're doing is you're getting rid of... you're throwing out the baby with the bathwater, aren't you?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's necessary to put a film on TV that has a, you know... I don't think it's necessary to have a film on TV that's got a priest in it when you could, you know, have so many other kinds of movies that would be just as inspirational. I think right now it's very, very... It's a very, very touchy and sensitive topic. And the other film was Boys Town. This is also...
These are not holiday movies, by the way. These are just movies about priests.
Well, no, but they show them at the holiday time. No, you're right. They're not about Christmas, but they show them about around this time.
So that you saw Boys Town and what else?
Well, it's that and Going My Way. And there's a couple of other ones. There's one I think It's a Wonderful Life, but Jimmy Stewart has got not a priest. It's got some kind of a religious figure. So, and also Miracle on 34th Street. So, if what we can do, if we can help one kid get through this time of year, it's to keep these films off of TV so that a child isn't sitting there and suddenly there's a priest on TV and. I don't know what that could bring up in that child. And
well, it seems like a small thing. It would not really have that much of an impact, though, would it?
I don't know. I think it would. I really do. I think it would have more of an impact than you or anybody else could imagine, Phil. I think that, you know, we talk out of one side of our mouth that we don't want kids molested, and out of the other side of our mouth comes put on the TV and let's see what Christmas, let's see if there's a priest on TV or something. I don't think anybody says that, but... I got so wrapped up and I got so tied up in a knot about this that I went down to the I didn't go down to Blockbuster. I had my my son get off of Netflix War of the Worlds, which was the one that was done with Gene Barry, and in it a priest walks with a cross over his head. And he is saying, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no one. And the Martian ship basically destroys this priest with a death ray of some kind. And I needed to watch that. I put it on. I put the scene on. After Jerry had gotten himself a Netflix, I put the scene on, and I watched it over and over. And
why?
I'm sorry, Phil.
Why did you do that? Because it was killing. Because this Martian ship was killing the priest?
Yes, because I needed that catharsis. I needed, on the one hand, I've got Bing Crosby, I've got Going My Way, Boys Town, It's a Wonderful Life, all of these priest movies, even as kids are being molested, and nobody's doing anything about it. They're showing the movies. So I said, well, I'm going to put on this film that shows a priest being annihilated by this so-called Martian death ray, if for no other reason, then it's going to give me some sense that there's some justice, you know. So I did that, and of course it's not the same. And
well, all right, so what's the upshot here, though? I mean, you are talking about not seeing priests on TV at Christmas time. Why? So
as I just got done saying to you, because so the kids who've been victimized by them don't have to see them, you see. And if we can take these films off of television, and take these images off of TV, then we give these kids a fighting chance not to have to see this. And I understand that some of these movies people like.
Well, some of these films you're talking about, It's a Wonderful Life and so forth, don't even have priests in them, you know.
I know that, but I think they remind everybody of that and the religious ramifications.
All right, so there's that. So taking these films off of this time of year when we have these holiday movies, I've never thought of Going My Way, but...
the other one is Bells of St. Mary's. That's another one. That's the Bells of St. Mary's has got a priest in it. So if you take this image, these priest images off of television, and you take them off of the television set so the kids don't have to be exposed to it, And the same thing goes, Phil, when we talk about Sandusky. It's not that it's a priest, but it is, it's Penn State football. And I think what I talked to Bill Arnsparger about, who's a former pro coach, as a matter of fact, I said to him, I said that, what are the chances of just taking Penn State off of television next year so we don't have to look at it? And he said to me, why punish the kids?
Yeah, why punish the football players and why punish the students?
It's for the same reason. When a kid sees, when a child that has been, you know, molested sees a priest, it's the same thing he sees when he sees Penn State. He's going to see the same kind of sickening thing.
And you think that the kid, any kid?
Yeah, yes.
And in other words, even if he hasn't had anything to do with Sandusky or any of those guys?
I think any kid, yeah. Any kid that has been assaulted or molested, if they see a priest or if they see Penn State, both of those images are going to be extremely difficult for them to deal with. And I think the time is now. We can't wait another 6 months. We can't wait another 10 months. We have to act now, and we have to act in concert with the university, as well as the different networks, if you will, the TCM and some of these networks that show these old movies, and make sure we don't have any of these films with priests in them. And if we have to talk to the networks about next year, make sure that we do not have any of these Penn State games on that a kid is going to stumble across and look at and be traumatized or otherwise have, you know, have this just thrown into his face. It would be, I think it would be a step in the right direction, Bill.
All right, well, Vernon Dozier is with us here. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. What do you think about taking Penn State off of television next year so that kids that have been molested don't have to deal with seeing that, as well as removing from television during the holiday season any films that contain the images of priests, notably Bells of St. Mary's, Going My Way, Boys Town, all of these things, all of these films, rather, that have these priest characters. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Vernon Dozier, high school educator, a board member, a high school football coach, all-around educator, an interesting guy. We'll continue our discussion of this here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Show.
877-876-PHIL on the line from Glendale, California. One of our regular contributors, Vernon Dozier, is joining us, and we're talking about this story that appeared in the LA Times here, Vernon, that I thought was very disturbing, and I agree with you. It's just I don't know when these things are going to end. The Dutch children being sexually molested. Now, you're right. It's not something that taking place in the United States. We're not talking about events that were here in the U.S., although we've certainly had those reports. This is 65 years of children being molested in the Netherlands. Your stopgap solution for all of this during the holiday season is to have priests taken off of, or rather, I should say, of movies.
The idea, Phil, excuse me for interrupting.
No, go ahead.
The idea is to take off of the holiday programming on television these films that do feature these characters that are Roman Catholic priests. And again, I mentioned a couple of them, and there are others. The television show Father Murphy, which was a priest character. Anything that has any inkling of Roman Catholicism, some people are going to think that's very prejudiced of me, but it's got nothing to do with religion. It has to do with the aberrant sexual practices of some of its clerics. And then, on top of that, of course, is the Penn State scandal. And that is something I think is much more, it's going to be harder to deal with, because every time a child sees Penn State, even though the students, you're right, had nothing to do with it, even though the student body and the athletes had nothing to do with it, every time a child sees Penn State, that child is going to be sickened and traumatized looking at that.
Well, I don't know how many kids are familiar with Penn State.
No, that's got nothing to do with it. It's the fact that they heard about Penn State And what happened to them happened to them, and then they heard about Penn State. So that when someone says, you want to watch some football, sure, who's playing Penn State? The sickness begins. You know, it's almost as if one has been conditioned. If you ever saw Clockwork Orange, the way they conditioned him.
All right, our number, okay, let's just take some phone calls here and let all of this sink in, because it's a lot of information. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And let's go over here to Will. Will, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Vernon Dozier in Glendale tonight. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Fine. I can barely hear you. So either take off the whatever you got going on there with the phone. Is that a headset or what is that?
No. Is it better?
No, it's not better.
I don't know what's going on inside.
All right. Well, go ahead and speak up.
Okay. I was just going to say that if we follow this call to its logical conclusion, we have to take off any cop show because cops have molested kids before. We have to take off any school.
Wait. When has that happened? When have cops molested kids? If you can give me some specifics.
You can look at any major city's rap sheet for any given calendar year, and you'll find.
Go ahead, give me one. Give me a case. Give me a case.
Okay, every group.
Give me a case.
You're
going to
have...
The man's saying that isn't it true that every group of people is going to have... You're going to have to stop... Hey, Will, you can stop talking, man, because your phone is really bad. He's saying, basically, that any group of people...
Yeah, well, you can say that, but I asked the gentleman, give me one case, and he can't, see? I can give him cases on...
Computer. I mean, but...
All right. You're going to need to give me a call back, man, when you get to a better cell, because your phone is really not working tonight. 877-876-PHIL. Ian, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. I just wanted to say the same thing as Will. I mean, let's just take off everything that has to do with, like, school teachers and stuff, too. I mean, the prevalence among the school teachers molesting children is much higher than it is among priests.
Yeah, but here's the problem with that. And I understand what these gentlemen are saying, Phil. I'm not trying to argue with them, but I'm saying... You don't see, if you see a school teacher, you see a guy dressed in a sweater, whatever, you know, he looks like a regular guy. Priest has got that priest collar, the priestly garments, and very identifiable. Penn State, very identifiable. The Penn State signal, the insignia, so on and so forth. That's what I'm trying to do here. You can talk about, if you want, teachers, I agree, but the glaring look of a priest... All over the news, you see priests sexually molesting kids. So I think what you have to do is start with the most glaring problem and the most public problem, and that's the priests. Then you get to Penn State, and then we could talk about some of these other things.
Yeah, but isn't that what would make school teachers much more dangerous, just because they look like every other person? They're much more camouflaged in society? I mean, as far as dressing goes?
I don't know. All I know is that we've got another news story about priests. And this is, you know, I don't know how many of these we get. So we have to attack the problem where we see it. And we've got two glaring areas, Penn State, and we've got...
Well, when you say Penn State, what exactly are you talking about?
Just Penn State. I think it's not so much a person with Penn State as it is the institution. So with priests and with Penn State, you have two very visible symbols. You got a priest... And you have Penn State. Both of those you can see.
Because they're so visible, does that mean that they should be the recipient of our censor? I mean, this man's making the point that there are teachers.
Well, Phil, if you and this gentleman can direct me to the news story that said over the course of 2 years there were all these teachers molesting kids. I mean, we had priests molesting kids left and right, and the stories were coming out left and right for about a 3-year period. If you can tell me where we're getting at.
Well, we had the stories about those women?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, what does that mean? Yeah, okay. Those were female teachers.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, yes, that is molestation. You're right, technically that is. That's not going to get people getting serious. Everybody, when you talk about a female molesting a male student, what do you get? A lot of people snickering. We don't need that.
Well, there's also
I want people to get serious.
There's also plenty of stories out there about male gym teachers that take advantage of male students and female students.
Well,
alike.
I think you may say that, sir, but I think you'd be hard pressed to find the number. No, I think we'd be very good if we just take all these priests off of TV and get rid of Penn State off of TV, and then we move on from there.
Well, I think it's
okay. Ian, thanks for your call.
Daughter, then too. All right.
Yeah, 877 is true. 877-876 Phil.
What do you say about goodbye? I happen to like Goodbye Cotter. What's it called, Goodbye Cotter?
Welcome Back Cotter.
No, he said Goodbye Cotter.
No, but there's the show is Welcome Back Cotter. But he's right. What about Welcome Back Cotter?
I don't know that show. I know Goodbye Cotter.
And all right, hold on. 877-876 Phil. Do you think taking priests off of TV shows and Penn State off of TV will help kids that have been molested so they don't have to look at them? Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. With me is Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy. As we're talking here about the now a new story about the molestation of kids. This is from the Netherlands. 65 years of Catholic priests and Roman Catholic figures, and the church officials failing to take adequate measures to protect these kids. And we're talking about a very, very small-scale solution to this problem here, Vernon, and that is taking off of television over the holiday season films that show priests and not showing Penn State football. Now, you know that, as we've said, the Penn State players, Penn State students haven't done a thing. Little kids may not be fully aware of Penn State football as much as they may be aware of priests. I don't really know what good you're going to do with that, you know.
I'll tell you what the good with the Penn State.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the good you're going to do with it. When you take Penn State football off of television, the parents are going to complain. And when the children ask, well, what do you complain about? They'll say Penn State. They took it off of TV because of the molestation. The kids will be familiar with that, and they'll say, that's right, you know. And I'm sure the children will weigh in favor of the ban or prohibition, if you will, because they're kids, and they know what's at stake. They know that having a look at Penn State playing football and enjoying themselves while they're sitting there at risk of having this happen to them, I don't think that you're going to find a kid in America that's going to be going against that. As far as the priests go, again, I don't think you're going to have kids who will go against you or me if we say, let's get these priests off of TV, even if it is some old movie.
Well, you know, because you are talking about old black and white films like Bing Crosby and Going My Way, Bells of St. Mary's, whatever they are. I don't know how that relates to the modern molestation problem.
It's the symbol. It's the symbol. Talk about Boys Town, any priest, it's the symbol, the priest. I don't care if it is Bing Crosby or and it's unfortunate because Bing Crosby was a very popular entertainer, and it's unfortunate that Bing Crosby, who was very, very loved as an entertainer, and the American people enjoyed him very much, it's unfortunate that kids are going to look at him in his priest costume and think he's some kind of a sick, twisted, you know.
All right, 8-7, so I don't even know if the little kids are going to know it's Bing Crosby.
Well, that's true, but, you know, in the character that he's playing.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Henry Show. Let me go over here. I got two guys on the line, and I forget who's who. I think I got Jeff over here. Is this Jeff?
This is. How you doing?
Go ahead, Jeff. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I just had a few comments when I called in, and one was, you know, molesters come from a broad range of backgrounds, ethnics, you know, you name it. But what he was looking for examples of a sheriff or a police officer who was molesting kids. We have one here in Wisconsin, northwest Wisconsin, in Dunn County. This guy was in charge of taking youths after school, if they'd been convicted of minor crimes, and mentoring and tutoring these kids so they wouldn't continue down that path. And it turns out he was molesting all of these young boys in his home after school for years.
Well, now, Phil told me about this as I was on hold. And I went and I looked in Google for this story that you're talking about. I can't find it anywhere.
Yeah,
now,
it's
you're making this up. If you're making this up, my friend, you'd be up for a lawsuit. You know that.
Oh, hey. No. It's no
you know
problem.
That, don't
think,
you?
Matter of fact, I think that it's just south of
I'm looking here in the Google, and there's nothing here about a sheriff in Dunn County. You know, nothing.
Dunn County,
Wisconsin.
Try Menominee.
Try what? That's right. It's not my job to do your homework for you. Right. What you've done here is you've come on here, you've indicted a man, you called a man a child molester.
Yep.
And you aren't sure.
He's facing like...
Let me tell you what I'm going to do. And you're sure it's Dunn County? You're sure it's Dunn County? Yep.
As a matter of fact, I think it's Menominee in Dunn County.
Okay, so in other words, you called the sheriff of Dunn County a child molester, and you weren't even sure. If I was able to get your name and call you a child molester all over the national radio, I don't think you'd appreciate that.
Hey, and besides that...
So you need to be very, very careful, and that just proves what I'm saying. Priests, who are all over the TV set we know about.
Well, look... Let's forget this particular story. Let's talk about whether, is it possible here that we have,
I don't know of one single case. I haven't heard one person call up and give me a verifiable case of a police officer molesting children.
Yeah, here's one for you.
No, I don't want you giving me more of your baloney cases because you don't have the facts. You don't have the facts, sir.
NBC, to catch a predator. They're right on there. They're MPs from the military. There's doctors, lawyers, you name it.
No, they haven't been convicted. They haven't been convicted. They ain't been convicted of nothing. I've seen that show. They've never been convicted. I've seen that show. And they ain't been on trial.
Yeah. You're crazy.
They haven't been on trial.
Yeah, well,
okay. All right. So what? Okay, I think I have to see Vernon's side on this one a little bit, Jeff. You're bringing up a lot of hearsay stuff. But I think it's also ridiculous to say that nobody...
I've never heard of a cop molesting a kid.
Okay, you've never heard of it. Are you telling me that it's never happened?
You should go ahead and give me the case. This guy here, he's struck. He's 0 for 2.
I'll put up $100,000. I'll give you my name off the air, and when I come up with the guy's name,
$100,000.
I'll bet you whatever amount of money you want. I'll give you my name after the show. I'll get you the case number, and I'm going to be rich.
Well, you give me the case number, and once I see it, then I'll decide whether I want to bet you.
Oh, no. I'll get the case number, and I'll bring it in a padded envelope, sealed and signed and notarized, and we'll bet on this program.
No. I'm not going to place a bet with you once you have the sealed and signed. I want you to get that.
Oh, so what you're
and
saying
then
is,
I will decide.
It's only hearsay. If I'm saying it, but
right.
If I have proof, then you're not willing to stand your ground. What religion
if you have,
are you?
Why would I want to bet you if you've got proof? But by the same token, how do I know you got the right case number?
What?
That's
religion?
True too.
Are you a religious man?
Am I a religious man?
Yeah,
yes, very much so. Very much so. Very much so. Yes.
Right.
Very
right.
much so.
So
yes.
When you're singling out these priests as the molesters, doesn't that just show you how strong Satan really is? You know, I know these priests...
No, I don't believe... You said you asked me if I was religious. Who said he believed in Satan? I don't believe in Satan.
Oh.
I believe in God, but I don't believe it. I can tell you this much. We're talking about priests, but you came up with cops, and you ain't got one shred of proof about cops, so...
All right, you guys make your bet, and we'll see what happens. Thank you very much, Jeff, for your call. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I don't know what to say. Other than to say that we've had a difference of opinion there on that, and I will tell you this: I think it's a little naive, though, for you to come out here and say, well, "Let's get all the priests off of TV and let's get all of the Penn State football off of TV," but all these other professions, no.
Look, Phil, all I know is that the Catholic priests have been in the news. They've been front and center, very evident on television, and Penn State football. I don't know why that's hard for you to understand. If I see a Penn State football game and I'm a kid at risk of being molested, I'm fearing for my life, and here comes Penn State running out of the tunnel. I mean, I'm going to be sick to my stomach with fear, and you don't want to help that child.
I don't understand how that works. What do you mean?
What do I mean?
I mean, in other words, they've heard about Jerry Sandusky, and they know that this man named Jerry... But I'm a kid. I'm 8, 9, 10 years old. I see Penn State running out of the tunnel, and I'm going to get sick?
Yes, you're going to get sick. Because you heard what they do to kids there.
You know, I got to tell you, it's a sick, sick story. And it's true that there were members of the faculty there and members of the administration there that either committed these acts or covered them up or what have you. But to say that... the actual symbol of Penn State, the Nittany Lion, the white helmet and the blue shirts and the school and all of that causes people to get sick to their stomach. You know,
I didn't say people, Phil. I said kids that are at risk of being molested, or God, you know, may God, God love them, have actually experienced that thing, and they've been through this, and now they see Penn State running out of the tunnel, jumping up and down like it's the 4th of July. I think that not only would sicken me, I think if I was a kid, that would be the beginning stages for me of a very murderous heart. And
you think that if a kid has got murder in his heart as the result of seeing Penn State running out of the tunnel, getting them off of TV is going to change that? I don't think so, okay?
No, look, Phil, I'm not one of these liberals.
Well, you're talking just like a liberal. You're talking about somebody who believes censorship is the way, controlling this information is the way to solve these violent and traumatic acts that people commit on each other. All right, let's take a break. 877-876-PHIL. If I see Penn State running out of the tunnel and I'm a kid, I'm going to get sick. Will be, maybe. Hell, I'm an adult, and when I see Penn State running out of the tunnel, I get sick. But not because of this Sandusky stuff. It's because most likely I bet them. And, all right, anyway, 877-876-PHIL. Sorry. World famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
No, I don't.
That's what you just said.
Famous Phil Henry Show.
That's very interesting. Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. I'm not backing you up at all.
I don't think that when I'm talking about these kids that are at risk, and I say to you that there is a chance that a child that has been sexually assaulted or is fearful of that, that when they see the Penn State athletic program, the Penn State football program, come out of the tunnel or they're on the field playing or what have you, there is a real risk that that child is going to experience some kind of an erotic event, I think, where you're going to have a problem with that kid later on. They're going to see Penn State, and it's almost like the old that old joke about, you know, don't say the word buffalo. I don't know if you remember the old Three Stooges gag, but
I don't, but you're saying that the kid is going to be...
The child will be triggered by that, triggered by the look of this, just the image of that football team. And you're going to have somebody, brother, I don't want to be, you remember that guy I shouldn't bring it up, but you remember the man that literally cut that lady's head off in that gift shop in the...
Well, you know what, you're not a psychologist, and neither am I.
Yeah, absolutely right, Phil.
But I think that's a very extreme comment, just to be honest with you. 877-876-PHIL. And I think I have, is this Sandy?
Yes.
Nope, this is not. Sandy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Vernon Dozier.
Hi, Phil. Thank you.
Yes.
Hi, Vern. Yes.
This is Vernon Dozier.
So far off base. He obviously knows, personally knows, no child abuse survivors.
And are you trying to, I'm off base.
Excuse me.
What you're saying, I'm off base.
There's a lot of sickening television content, lot of it. And
there's
no,
a lot
this
of
is
it.
Not, a child isn't going to relate a football game to a molestation.
No. No, the kid's not going to relate a football game, but the child will see the uniforms and the Nittany Lion.
Only if it's built into their head, sir. You have no concept of what mentally influences a child.
Well, ma'am, I dare say that what are your credentials? I mean, I'm saying we do know that people can be triggered. And I fear for the day that a kid that's been molested is an adult man of, say, 30, and he's in a bar, and he sees the Nittany Lions run out onto a field, and
well,
the next thing you know, you've got a situation. You've got a SWAT team.
Out of the middle of nowhere 20 years later, magically. It doesn't happen overnight like that.
Excuse me. I've heard about these flashbacks, haven't you? What's her name? Roseanne Barr said she had a flashback.
Oh, well.
You know? And... So if the Nittany Lions trigger,
I have spoken to psychologists, and I personally know more than one child molestation survivor. And
oh, my God.
They're not going to all of a sudden snap out of the clear blue. These would be one in a million instance that anything could be triggering.
Can I play for you? Your name is Sandy, and Phil, if we wouldn't mind, I've got a tape recording that we use in our audio visual. I want to play for Sandy. This is a tape of a function. It was on television that a friend of mine who had been sexually molested as a kid saw. Now, he saw this as it came on television. I want you to listen to his reaction, if you wouldn't mind.
Did you hear paternal? I'm going to get you.
All right, did you hear that, Sandy? Sandy?
A little.
He said, paterno, I'm going to get you. You heard that.
That guy sounded like he was mental.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Just made my point for me.
Yeah.
In other words, it sounded to me like the guy was nuts.
You just made my point. Yeah, nuts. Now, the guy that was on TV was not Joe Paterno. The guy that was on TV was another guy by the name of Paterno, but... And it had nothing to do with sexual molestation. My friend, yes, he had been through that. But the guy he saw on TV owed him money from a contract. But do you see what I mean?
No, I don't see what you mean.
Neither
no, I don't.
I beg pardon? See, I think Sandy doesn't know what to say now because I just proved that she's...
That doesn't prove anything.
Yeah, it does. You just heard the guy screaming Paterno.
Yeah, that's not the same Joe Paterno. You said it's another Paterno.
It is. See, Sandy?
You know what? Now I'm confused. It's not Joe Paterno. It's another Paterno. It's somebody that owes him money from a contract.
Yes, but the point is he had a psychotic episode seeing the guy.
Yeah, but he's just pissed at that guy. It's got nothing to do with him being triggered into violence by something that he heard or saw.
I don't know. Let's listen to it one more time.
Get you, Paterno! Oh, yeah!
All right, now, Sandy, you heard that. And you heard him say, it's you, Paterno, oh, yeah.
It's a guy that owes him money.
Besides, that has nothing to do with the child drilling it into a child's head what particular people at this school have done. The children
I don't want to take any chance. I just don't want to take chances. Why take the chance? I say we get priests.
You better not leave your house.
Well, look, we're talking about children here. So we all want to get priests. I want to get Penn State.
Molested in their homes. The majority of children are molested in their own homes.
I agree, and that's why I think that when we talk about, for instance, gardeners
we
and
don't
domestic
have to
people,
you just need to teach your children not to trust anyone, and it doesn't mean priests. It means anyone.
Even their parents. Okay, nice. Yeah, thanks, Sandy. Thanks a lot.
Well, no, not necessarily mistrust in that sense, but we certainly have to educate kids as to what is proper and what is improper, even if the improper behavior is on the part of their parents. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. They cannot be afraid to report that. I know adult people today who were abused as children and were told by their parents, if you go to school and report this, it's going to be bad for you.
Yes.
And it scared them as children. And they even when the teachers at the school said, what's wrong with you and why do you have that bruise? And, oh, it's nothing. And so they were scared to death.
Yes.
Well, I don't know who you, but you must hang out with some weird people. Wow. You know what I mean, Sandy? Henry must hang out.
What do you mean I must hang out with weird people?
You know people. I don't know anybody like that.
Well, you ought to get with it, man, and start learning a little
bit.
That's
what I said. This man doesn't live in the real world.
I don't know. Sure. Are you ready for who this guy knows, though? It's like all these people.
Okay, fine. Thank you, Sandy, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. I don't know what you mean by that.
What do I mean? You're all like, I know people that, some of the people you know.
Woo!
Way out there.
Well, you know what? It's a very real thing. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Antonio on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Antonio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I first want to start off, and I want to say that the gentleman that's talking this evening, what he's saying, it might not be something. There might not be something that people want to really hear, and you probably don't really want to talk about what he's saying. On his basic theory, and his
you agree with me. You agree with me, Antonio, don't you? You agree with me.
When
a kid sees Penn State football, wants to commit murder.
And he is absolute. See, this is something that is not that easy.
Thank you very much.
Now,
that's all I need from you. I just needed for you to agree with me. I don't need to listen to you. Take it off the radio, Bill.
I won't. I want to listen to the man.
He let me talk. I would like to say.
Yeah, go ahead. But you can talk, but it's superfluous now.
He let me talk. I would like to say.
The point, I'd like you to talk, but there's no point in you talking because
you won't let me talk.
You're not going to stick. You don't stick. I guess he's like a.
Would you shut up? I couldn't even hear the guy. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
What did he say? Phil. He was trying to say something about a no-stick pan.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Those of you who are watching Phil TV in HD just saw me have... You saw me have a little bit of an accident here. But we got it all cleaned up. I just spilled some coffee here on the... I did not spill coffee on any equipment. And that, believe me when I tell you, I learned that the hard way early on in my career. I spilled coffee on a lot of equipment, and I've cost myself, more than anybody else, a whole lot of money doing that. But we saved it. Welcome back to our show on this Friday night, all the way till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we're online at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. That's where you can go and get a live streaming video of our show, listen to our archives. You can take advantage of our daily podcasts. You can comment in our news feed. You can contact us directly by way of email if you're a BSP member. That is a backstage pass member. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. So get a backstage pass. All right. We've got a couple of things that we were going to talk about this hour. We're probably going to push off one of the topics to next hour, one of them being the subject of the Chipmunk movies, if you're ready for that. And it's kind of an extension of what we were talking about in the first hour. We thank Vernon Dozier, by the way, for being with us. But we are going to get on the line here, Jerry Sugar, who is the editor of his own sports blog, The Sugar Man. And we're going to talk about Kobe Bryant and his wife, Vanessa, splitting up. Vanessa has filed for divorce. She cites irreconcilable differences in a petition filed in Orange County, California. She married the NBA star in 2001. Their union survived his 2003 arrest on suspicion of sexually assaulting a Colorado hotel worker. There's been a lot in the life and the times of Kobe Bryant, and we want to get caught up on this. You know, it's not a very happy thing, you know, when you're talking about a man, his marriage going south, even if it's a very public guy who makes a lot of money. Jerry Sugar is joining us from Los Angeles tonight. Jerry, how are you doing?
Well, I couldn't be better, and I'm very, very grateful to be talking about this with you tonight, because I think there's an awful lot that needs to be discussed. Kobe Bryant, you know what, Phil? You're right when you say that he's a basketball, he's a public personality, and I think you're right when you say that Kobe Bryant is a man of means. But I think we also need to understand that Kobe Bryant is flesh and blood, and he is, without question, a man of heart, a man of emotion. I don't know that he's done the things that people say he's done. I don't know that he has done perhaps the things that Vanessa says he's done. I do know one thing that Kobe Bryant did. Kobe Bryant got Vanessa a very sizable diamond, an engagement ring that could not have been cheap. That much I do know. And I think what we're talking about tonight, Phil, is, excuse me, Phil, I guess I'm preempting you here a little bit. I was just launching into what I wanted to say.
No, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. I wanted to say hello to you, but, you know, you're getting right into where I want to go. You're saying that you're basically giving me the reasons why you think Kobe Bryant shouldn't be seen as a bad guy here.
No, I don't think Kobe Bryant's a bad guy. I don't think Vanessa's the bad guy, to coin a term. I think what's being overlooked in this scenario is that Kobe Bryant is one of the pivotal members, obviously, of the Los Angeles Laker basketball squad. And that's not being said because I'm a Laker fan. I'm a basketball fan, and because I'm a basketball fan, I understand how the game works. And I also understand the nature of sports relationships, sports marriage, and whether or not these are advisable actions to take when a team is beginning a competitive campaign.
Is Vanessa being selfish? Is that what you're saying?
I think she is. I think she is. I'll give you my reasons.
Because there are people would say she has every right in the world to control her own destiny and to, if she wishes, to file for divorce.
Oh, and without question, Phil, I wouldn't disagree with that at all. I would not disagree with that at all. I would not say that a person is entitled to control their own destiny, as you put it. I think that is absolutely right. But I want to take it a step further. I wonder at what point we take responsibility for the things that we do and we subsume, if I can use a 50-cent word there, Phil, we subsume our own grandiose plans for the future and subsume them so that the greater good is done. And by that I mean the fact that Kobe has a basketball season to play, and having to deal with a divorce that Vanessa wants is distracting.
So she's selfish by filing this divorce.
I don't want to say selfish. I think that's a word that carries connotations that you can't draw back. I don't think it's selfish. I just think that she doesn't understand what's at stake. I don't think she understands how the game is played. You don't file for divorce when a man is standing on the precipice of a championship season and could win another ring. This is a significant thing for the organization as well as Laker fans. You don't file for divorce that abruptly when you've got on your hand a rock that I've got to think, Phil, brand new. I don't know how many carats it is, but I got to think brand new. That rock was a six-figure rock. I think I don't think you're thinking. I don't think she's thinking about Kobe. I certainly don't think she's thinking about Kobe. I don't think she's thinking about Laker fans.
Well, she shouldn't have to. The guy that should be thinking about the Laker fans is Kobe.
Well, Kobe is thinking about the Laker fans because Kobe is playing the game. He's playing the game. He's playing the game of basketball for the L.A. Lakers. But Vanessa, while she is the wife of a Laker, has a responsibility, too, that she's not taking seriously, and that is the responsibility to make that man happy, to keep his the troubles and the background noise of the home life and so on as quiet as possible so that he has 100% concentration. That's not happening right now. And so I've got to look at this, and I've got to say, big mistake made by Vanessa Bryant in filing for this divorce. You can't legislate against it, but you can say for the rock that he gave her, the amount of money that he spent on her, how much money do you think he spent on her over the last 10 years?
I have no idea. Why would that figure in?
Well, I think it figures in because those are real man hours. That's real money. That, in other words, is equity that you can quantify, you can count it, and you can say this much is in the bank and that much is in the bank. I can go to the bank. I can say, here's how much money I spent on you. I said that to my ex-wife when we divorced. I said, I've got in front of me a sheet of paper that I worked on. Excuse me. I got a sheet of paper I worked on overnight, and I waited for her to get out of bed, and I'd been up all night working on this. I said, look at this. This is how much money I earned and I spent on you. Now, where's your piece of paper? Guess what? She didn't have one. And so I think that Vanessa Bryant...
All right, I get your idea. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
I'm just going to say, Vanessa Bryant doesn't have a piece of paper that says, here's how much I spent on you, Kobe. He has the piece of paper that says, here's how much I spent on you.
And okay, so what did he do? Did he buy her? You know?
No, I'm not saying that he bought her.
Because if you're saying, well, here's how much I spent on you, therefore you owe me...
Well, and I don't think it's an issue of whether he bought her or not. I think it's an issue of, yes, you just said the word, you owe me. You owe me big. If Kobe Bryant put a piece of paper in front of his ex-wife, or in front of his wife Vanessa, that said, you owe me for one engagement ring, you owe me for a house, you owe me for another house in Newport Beach, you owe me for a trip to Monaco or Monte Carlo, wherever they went, you owe me for, I don't know how many kids, you owe me for this car, and you owe me for that car, you owe me. And he presents her with the piece of paper, and she comes back with a divorce proceeding. That's gotta hurt. Gotta hurt bad.
What? When you, just out of curiosity, Jerry, before we take our break, you presented your wife with a piece of paper. You guys were talking about divorce.
Yeah, exactly. We had agreed on getting a divorce, but I said I worked out on paper what she owed me, because I'll tell you what was happening at that particular time. I was starting up a TV show, Jerry Sugar's Byline, and I didn't need the background static of a divorce. So I said, I need for you to stay where you are for a year. And she said, do you want to work on our marriage? I said, that's really irrelevant. You said you want a divorce, that's fine, but I need for you to stay where you are for the next year. And I said, here's what you owe me. And
What does that mean, I need for you to stay where you are for the next year?
I needed her to stay my wife for the next year while I was getting the TV show up and running, because I didn't need any static, the background static of a divorce. So I said, here's what you owe me, and I gave her the piece of paper. Well, she owed me for a Porsche, a house in the mountains. We bought a sailboat. We had a condominium in Hawaii. Okay? I said, that's a sizable debt you owe me. I need you to be where you are for a year. And she, for all intents and purposes, Phil, she wadded it up and did you know what with it. I'll tell you what she did literally. She took it and she rubbed it real fast on a part of her body. It was an insult. And I think that...
So in other words, she said it was worthless.
That's what she said, yeah. And I'm here to tell you, no, it isn't worthless. It's worth real dollars.
So Vanessa Bryant, Kobe Bryant's wife, should not be filing for this divorce at this particular time while the championship season is underway. And the reason is she owes him.
Well, yeah, that and I think just reasons of dignity and the reasons of just timing alone, I think it's a bad time to be filing for divorce.
Okay, Jerry Sugar on the line with us on the Phil Hendry Show here as we're talking sports tonight. And really, we're not talking sports so much as we're talking about a sports marriage or the marriage of a big NBA star, Kobe Bryant, and his wife, Vanessa. They're getting divorced. Jerry is saying that Vanessa Bryant is not using very good sense, not good timing. She owes Kobe Bryant. She owes him this much, not to file for divorce now while the season is underway, especially since he bought her a big ring and invested an awful lot of money in their marriage. What do you think? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Kobe Bryant and Vanessa Bryant, should they be getting divorced now, or is this too much, quote, background static for Kobe to deal with? The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go everywhere, anywhere, and take you places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. On the line with me here, Jerry Sugar from the Jerry Sugar Byline, a popular sports blog. We're talking about something that was just announced today, Jerry, I think, unless you had, you know, you reporters, you know.
No, I didn't have any advance. I had no advance warning of this at all, Phil. There was absolutely, as far as I knew that they were having problems. There's no question the Bryants were having problems. And you know the issues that Kobe had.
Well, let's get into those for a second here before we take a couple of phone calls. Kobe Bryant was accused of sexually assaulting a hotel worker in Colorado. I heard about that. It made me sick to my stomach because up to that point, we'd all wanted to think of Kobe the way we all, I guess, thought about O.J. Simpson or the way we all, I guess, thought about, I don't know, Brett Favre before he was sending his penis via text message, you know.
Well, I wouldn't want to put Brett Favre in the same category as O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson took somebody and almost decapitated them. And
all right, okay, but you know what I'm saying. I
get the general thrust of what you're saying is that we wanted to believe in these people, and you're absolutely right. But that's got nothing to do. That was in 2003, and that was worked through. Had it not been worked through, then I would assume there would have been repercussions much sooner than there have been right now. But what's happening right now is that Vanessa Bryant has decided she's going to file for divorce, and the Lakers are just getting their season underway, and I think it's their way of, I don't know. I can tell you how much that ring was worth, by the way. I want to thank Dan Northcraft for looking that up. $4 million.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. I must have known that.
Oh, yeah. $4 million ring Kobe Bryant laid on her, and here's how she pays him back. She says, I'm going to divorce you, and you're going to have to deal with the background static. And, oh, yeah, I think I'm going to take the ring, too. Now, again, I told you, I presented my wife with an itemized list of what she owed me. And
I don't think a lot of people do that, you know. I don't think they sit down and say, here's what you owe me.
No, I'm not talking about saving the marriage. I'm talking about a decent amount of time where he doesn't have to deal with the background static. And that's what I was asking from my wife. I said, this is, take a look at this. I've been up all night doing this list. She's in the bedroom sawing logs. I mean, all night long I can hear her snoring while I'm working on this itemized list of what she owed me. At the end of the morning, I show her, I say, you owe me, and she goes back to bed.
Okay, what happened?
She left, so she didn't care.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me get to a phone call here. I got Donnie on the Phil Hendry Show. Donnie, go ahead. We lost
Hello,
phone call. Go ahead, sir.
I think that you have a little bit of a messed up view on marriage. It's not an ownership type thing. It's supposed to be a partnership. When a marriage doesn't work out, you're not supposed to try to, you know, get back what you invested in it. It's supposed to be a mutual thing. You guys are supposed to always take care of each other. In the same sense,
no,
you
this
know...
Is, no, this is a sports marriage. We're talking about something completely different, Donnie. We're not talking about... I'm talking about a very high-profile marriage where there's a lot of money at stake. In other words, where a divorce would mean the loss of millions of dollars, not just in terms of community property. I'm talking about the loss of income by Mr. Bryant, that if she walks out on him and the background static gets to him so much that they don't make the postseason, that's costing him real money, real dollars. These are real dollars.
But that's...
It's not play money.
You can't put a price on a marriage or an emotional attachment. A thing like infidelity is very hard to make it through. And 90% of people...
But if you can't put a price on it, then how come you got to give a woman an engagement ring? And it's got
to
be worth a certain amount of money.
You don't
have
to. You can go get a marriage license and sign for one from your state without presenting a
license. You will never get a woman of quality. You're never going to get a woman of quality to marry you if you don't give her an engagement ring.
you will not get
her
quality either if you seem to think that you can buy her and that she owes you for things. It sounded like the ring that you had mentioned that he bought her made it okay that
$4 million.
You know, infidelity, that it's not okay to just...
Why did he buy her? Then why'd she accept the $4 million ring from him?
The marriage still didn't work, so if the ring was supposed to make everything better, then their marriage would have worked. He went about it the right way,
work.
Just like you did. If you really wanted your marriage to work, you wouldn't think about a list of things that they owe you. You would say, hey, you're right, I want to work for the marriage.
Donnie, I don't think you got any... Do you have experience? Do you have experience of being married? Because you sound a little...
Yes, sir, 7 years. I know I sound young, 28 years old. Yes.
You sound a little pie in the sky. It sounds a little
okay.
Like you're...
I don't have to
you know
prove
what I mean?
You anything, sir, whether you believe it or not.
No, I know, but
7 years, and if my marriage did not work out, I would not try to go get my wife for everything I bought for her. That does not...
No, I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying to you, Donnie, that you make a list. If your wife decides one day that she wants out, and she does that right at the beginning of one of the biggest financial projects of your life, and she's going to create a lot of background static now while you're trying to get some work done, don't you feel it's in your best interest?
No.
Don't you think it's in your best interest to itemize what she owes you? What's that?
If you can spend $4 million on a ring, then you're not going to be worried about one season of money. He has more than enough money to worry about one season.
Believe me, I've been around these players. They don't just throw money away. Kobe Bryant put $4 million under that woman's hand. Somebody's got to pay.
Well, I don't know what that means, somebody's got
to
pay.
He had to pay. He paid with his marriage because he tried to buy her and bribe her off, and that was the wrong action. You know, I would have...
He owes him $4
million. To that.
He's still going to say, give me the $4 million.
All right, listen, we can discuss this forever. Thanks very much for your call, Donnie. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
I think the guy's got the wrong idea.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. We have... Jerry Sugar on the line with us as we continue talking about the Kobe Bryant divorce, the impending divorce. At least we understand that Vanessa Bryant has filed a petition in a Southern California court in Orange County, citing irreconcilable differences.
Phil, if I interrupt you here for a minute, the reason why that petition was filed in Orange County court, and I ought to tell you why, because of the fact that they live in Newport Beach, California. I don't know if you're familiar with Newport Beach, Phil. I know because you live in Southern California. People who don't know Newport Beach, this is the Beverly Hills of by the ocean. This is the Palm Beach of the West Coast. And the fact that Kobe Bryant bought this woman, Vanessa Bryant, a house. And the other thing they have in Newport Beach, if you're familiar with it, they literally have, this is no kidding, Phil, they have elevators for their cars. Now, what I mean by that, they got car elevators so that you put your car in at night and you can put an elevator that lifts the car. You can keep four cars in one garage. Have you ever seen that?
I saw that once. Yeah, I was walking down the street there and I looked and saw some guy had a, I don't know, that's a pretty expensive
Of course it's expensive. Any guy that puts an elevator in their garage, you know. So this is what Vanessa Bryant is throwing back in Kobe Bryant's face. Is this guy's getting ready for the NBA championship season. She took a $4 million rock and puts her car in an elevator and tells him to go, you know, to shove off. I don't think she's thinking. She's not thinking. She's not using her brain, but we're talking about an NBA star.
All right, Jerry Sugar with us here, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a phone call. Here we have Mike. Mike, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jerry Sugar. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Jerry,
yes, sir.
I've got a couple questions for you.
Yes, sir.
Did your parents ever have any kids that lived? Because you are a moron.
Isn't that funny? I haven't heard that one before.
You must walk around bodyguards because you are not in the real world, buddy. You insulted everybody.
I can tell you right now, I live more in the real world than you do, because all you can come up with is stale one-liners. What world are you living in besides some bar room where you're picking up these one-liners?
Hey, I've been married for 23 years. I just
so you say.
30 years old. All right.
So you say.
What?
You got married when you were 17, huh?
I did.
I had to tell you that. I bet you didn't think about that.
I did think about that.
Yeah?
I was 17 years old when I got married. And
uh-huh.
Don't tell me
Right. You just not did the math on that?
What's that?
Did you just do the math on that?
You know what? Kobe Bryant messed up. Just like all those other guys that you play with.
Messed up.
You guys gave that woman $4 million.
Gave a $4 million rock.
See, that's a problem with you people. When you guys make so much
Kobe
money,
Bryant.
You know, you're all overpaid and you're all pieces of crap.
You love money too. And you ain't got money. That's what upsets you. You ain't got the money.
I do have the money. The African handball should have just not even been on at all. Just get rid of it. You're all a bunch of crybabies.
Africa? Oh, you're one of these guineas that's a racist. You're an Italian that thinks he's better than an African. Yeah, you're funny.
All right.
Well, you're an idiot.
So see you later, Mike. You are a dumbass. Take a hike, you jackball. 877-876-PHIL. I think we got Jeff on the line here. Is this Jeff? Or whoever. Jeff?
Tony,
sorry. Go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, just one point, and I don't want to try to throw a ripple in your speaker's call, but it sounds like he's trying to measure a material investment that Kobe Bryant made with his wife, and he's not looking at that she's making an investment of an entirely different kind. It's the relationship, and that's what she's trying to get divorced about. It sounds like to me it's basing the divorce on the fact that the relationship which she's invested in has failed.
Well, you see, here's where you're making your point. I don't think we're too far apart. I know you think I'm thinking of this in terms of money. I'm not. What I'm doing is I'm thinking of this in terms of investment. There's all kinds of investment.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
A man could, and she invested whatever she invested.
But she can't.
But what she invested.
But take
and what she's
her investment on a ledger sheet. You can show his on a ledger sheet, but you can't show hers because hers is intrinsic. So
what do you mean you can't show hers? You can show how much money did she bring in. See?
That's not what
the gentleman's saying. He's saying emotional investment.
Huh? You guys are talking at the same time.
Because a woman doesn't invest a ledger sheet on a whole itemized list. She invests her soul.
My friend... I've heard that before,
but it's not.
I haven't heard that from a man. I've heard it from a woman before. You're the first man that I've heard.
Well,
are you buying that?
I'm getting it.
Are you buying that?
The view. And I'm not feminized or anything like that. I'm not.
No. I know you're not. But what I'm saying is, are you buying that? I mean, I know you're saying it. Do you buy it?
I think that's her point of view. That's her point of view. It may not be materially right, but it's probably the way she's measuring it, and that's the value.
Right, well,
that she's
that's
using.
What I'm talking about. I'm saying that Vanessa Bryant needs to wake up and take a good sniff of the air around her. It's probably going to smell like coffee. And
she's
I think what she needs
gonna...
to do is say, what am I doing?
Here's the point.
I'm going to be putting a lot of background static on this guy.
I got
$4 million bucks on my hand.
But the
and
point
I think this
is,
guy,
she's
you know,
not going to measure it that way.
You're talking. Are you listening to me? I know it. She's got to start measuring it that way. You understand what I'm saying?
She won't.
Well, wait a minute. She's got to start measuring. What does that mean?
What do you think I've been talking about for the last half hour?
Look,
I don't care how she sees things. She's got to start seeing things this way.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
What's going to change her viewpoint as a woman who's doing an ill-timed act, as you say it is, and from the standpoint of the championship, you're right. But
I'll tell you what you need to do is you go and you give her a call and you guys can sit down at some, you know, touchy-feely session.
Part. I'm just telling you
I know.
The psychological angle.
You're giving me a lot. I got the psychology, okay? You've been twisted around by too many women. I'm telling you.
No, wait. Hold on for a minute. The guy is, what he's trying to tell you is that there's a certain way she's looking at this. You got everything here about money.
That's right. It's money. This guy, I don't know what he's talking. He says he's not feminized. He sounds that way to me.
He's talking about the fact that she's got a different point of view, what she's put into the relationship.
Oh, yeah, sure. What she's put into the relationship, you mean all of her emotional energy? Let me explain something to you, Phil. A man puts emotional energy in, too, and money. Yeah. You didn't think of that, did you?
Sure, I thought of it, okay? I mean,
Well, all right, so if a guy's putting money and emotional energy into it, he's still up on the ledger sheet. That's what I don't think you understand. And, you know, I'm just telling you, I'm Jerry Sugar. I do my sports report the way I see it. I call it the way I want to call it. You know, I don't want to sound like I'm Howard Cosell because that sounds stale, but I tell it how I call it. And I've been looking, as a matter of fact, Phil, for a catchphrase that's not tell it like it is. I don't want to say that. I don't want to say call him as I see him. And I don't want to say the one that Gil Stratton used, which it's time to call him as we see him. Is that what he said?
I don't know. What's your point?
My point is this. I say it the way it is, that I see him. I call him the way I see him.
What are you trying to do now? You trying to come up with a slogan?
Yeah, well, no, I want to give you the slogan that best articulates my point of view on this Vanessa Bryant. I see it, and I call it the way it is. I can't get the words out the way I want to say them.
I don't know what you're trying to go for here. You're saying that you call it the way you see it.
If I say that, I sound like Gil Stratton. If I say, tell it like it is, I sound like Howard Cosell. I'm looking for something different. I'm looking to say, I see it, and I call.
Okay, you know, let's take a break here, because...
Oh, I see, because I need to relax. Maybe I need to lay down and put a cold compress on my head, is that it?
Well, it sounds like you need something, and at this particular juncture, we're not going to be able to come up with it. So let's take a break, and we'll be right back here with Jerry Sugar.
No, I see.
You call it the way you see it, the way it is. How about that? We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Vanessa Bryant and Kobe Bryant, does she owe him? And is this an ill-timed divorce? Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. We're going to finish up here with Jerry Sugar and this Vanessa Bryant and Kobe Bryant. And, you know, the attitude that she owes him, and the fact that you and your wife were in a similar circumstance and you came up with a ledger sheet that she owed you, and it just didn't work out. I don't think it's going to work out for Kobe Bryant either. I think he's going to have to live through this basketball season knowing that his wife's going to divorce him, and that's where that's at.
I mean, Phil, you know, you might be right. I don't know. I'm just trying to tell you it's very unfortunate given the fact that she's not, keeping his best interests at heart. I recognize she's going to divorce him. But divorces, Phil, take it from me, divorces are all about sticking a knife in somebody and seeing how deep you can stick it in and where you can break it, at what vital organ you can break it off in. And
God almighty, man, what an attitude.
Are you telling me it's different?
I'm saying that some people may not have that kind of attitude toward each other, yeah.
Oh, really? Well, you know what, Phil? Maybe in some fairyland, but I can tell you Vanessa Bryant and Kobe Bryant are getting divorced. When my wife and I got divorced, Carolyn, and I said, here's what you owe me, and she kind of laughed and went back to bed and started sawing logs again, and we finally had it out in divorce court. I mean, there was nothing left of me. Literally nothing left of me. I had a pair of pants, I had shoes and socks, and I had the keys to my car. And that means, what's missing there, Phil?
What is missing where? It sounds like she got everything.
Yeah, but I had a pair of pants, shoes and socks, keys to my car. What's missing?
Yeah, a shirt?
A shirt, a jacket, and the car. I had the keys and no car. In other words, what I'm saying to you is...
Oh, come on, get serious, will you?
I'm being serious. I'm being very serious. I got raped. And Kobe Bryant is going to get raped, too, because at the end of this season, he's not going to have his head in the season. They're going to lose the playoffs. Now, there's one other thing I want to bring up here before you go to a commercial or whatever you're going to do. I heard this guy last hour talking about keeping priests and keeping Penn State off of TV. Are you aware of the fact that in the county of Los Angeles, they have a vermin problem with rodents? You understand that? They got rabies, these rodents.
Okay.
How many times are they going to show that Chipmunk movie? At what point are they going to take the...
Okay, thank you very much, Jerry Sugar. And
what are you hanging up for?
I hung up because the guy started talking about a vermin problem in L.A. County and how many times they're going to show the Chipmunk movie. That's about it for me.
Yeah, that sounds like he's nuts.
Oh, yeah, that guy, he's around the bend there. He's around the bend there. All right, well, thanks very much, Jerry, for your opinion on the Vanessa Bryant and Kobe Bryant. Look, they're getting divorced, and that's where that's at. What is it, a surprise? Why would it be a surprise? Take a look at what the guys, that 2003 thing, whatever that was. And then we have, he's admitted to having an affair. I don't know. I'll tell you one thing, man. People's marriages have never been more public. And as a result of their marriages being public, at least celebrity marriages being public, marriages never looked worse. And I don't even get into the whole gay-straight angle on this thing. All right, the Phil Hendry Show here, 877-876-PHIL. Next hour, we're going to be into our news and information hour with Robert and with Bud. Reminder that we're online at philhendryshow.com. We have the largest archive of any radio show anywhere in the history of the world. It's right there at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and be a part of it. There's an interesting story sports-wise here that I wanted to lay on you. It's kind of a drag because if you saw the movie Rudy and you liked the movie, and I did, this is a little bit of a bummer. Did you see that movie, Bud?
Yeah, there's bitch and Willie, but the guy went to UCLA.
Exactly. The guy goes to UCLA, or not UCLA, it's Notre Dame.
No, it was UCLA.
You talk about Rudy.
Yes, Rudy.
I thought it was UCLA.
It ain't UCLA, it's Notre Dame. Where'd you guys get UCLA?
The Golden Dome.
Just because UCLA's got gold helmets, which, by the way, they don't have anymore. They were wearing those stupid-ass white helmets. Never mind. So Rudy, it's about a guy that went to Notre Dame, UCLA. And the kid wanted to go to Notre Dame real bad. And his name was Rudy, what the hell was his name? Daniel Rudiger. It's a real guy. And the movie in 93 popularized this man's story who wanted badly to play Notre Dame football. And he eventually did, transferring from Holy Cross. And he gets into Notre Dame, and then he actually makes it onto the Notre Dame squad for one game. I think they kept him in the game. And he'd been promised this shot by Ara Parsegan, and then Parsegan left the school, and along came Dan Devine, and a lot of different story angles there. And it's all true, and the film was fantastic, and Sean Astin played Rudy, and the football scenes are amazing.
It looked like they were in a real game.
He was in a real game.
No, he wasn't in a real game.
Well, then he's all tackling and everything.
No, that wasn't a real game. I mean, but I'll tell you, however, whoever and whatever, that looked like they were real football players, and it looked like Sean Astin actually suited up and was literally in some kind of a scrimmage that they filmed for the movie. You know, they had a full stadium. It might have been before a game or after a game. I don't know. Usually they'll do it before a full stadium, and... they'll do it before a full stadium and they'll have the crowd just react the way that they would react. Nonetheless, excuse me, it's a beautiful movie. Now, let's fast forward a little bit. The inspirational 1993 movie Rudy, celebrating Daniel Rudiger as a plucky underdog who overcomes long odds in his diminutive stature to earn a walk-on role on Notre Dame's legendary college football team. But in a settlement announced on Friday, the Securities and Exchange Commission casts Mr. Rudiger in a far less heroic light as a key participant in a so-called pump-and-dump stock scheme that generated more than $11 million in allegedly illicit profits for a now-defunct beverage company, Rudy Nutrition.
No, man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's guilty. This is the SEC's. They're saying that it's far less heroic light as a as a key participant. Investors were lured into the scheme by Mr. Rudiger's well-known feel-good story, but found themselves in a situation that did not have a happy ending, said Scott Freistad, Associate Director of the SEC's Division of Enforcement. All right, I don't know whether he's been found guilty of any of this stuff. And you know, the SEC sues people. They don't arrest people necessarily. The police will arrest you.
What about that scene in Wall Street where they arrest, what's his face, that guy?
What guy?
Charlie Sheen.
I don't know, man, what that was. Yeah, they busted him for, the SEC guy was there. They had the New York City police there. They arrested him. The company made and sold a sports drink called Rudy with the tagline, Dream Big, Never Quit. But the SEC charged that Mr. Rudiger and 12 others made false and misleading statements about their company in news releases, SEC filings, and promotional materials during the 2008 scheme to lure investors, inflate the stock price, and then sell their share of the profits. For instance, a letter to potential investors falsely claimed that in a major Southwest test, Rudy outsold Gatorade 2-1, which is not true, apparently, but they made this claim. This is according to the SEC in its complaint. Again, this is not a conviction, you know.
You're always trying to make it sound like a guy. How come you're doing that lately?
Yeah, we've been noticing lately you are trying to make guys look innocent.
Well, you've been noticing lately I'm trying to make guys look innocent, huh?
Yeah, but I mean, you're always saying, oh, well, you know, two sides to every story.
There are two sides to every story. Just because the SEC says this, that, and something else doesn't necessarily mean the other guy doesn't have something to say about it. I'm not saying the SEC is lying. I'm not saying the SEC is not being completely forthright in their feelings and their determination. I'm not saying that the SEC is not doing their due diligence and is not being honest in their investigation. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying this is their, these are their findings. These are not necessarily not necessarily the way they see it, is all I'm saying.
Well, how am I going to get it wrong, man? I mean, they're the ones that, you know,
I don't know, Robert, but sometimes they do. There is such a thing as somebody being found not guilty. There is such a thing as someone not winning a lawsuit. There is such a thing as justice. There is such a thing as, you know, you remember what the job of a prosecutor, this is the SEC are not prosecutorial, it's not a prosecutorial agency, it's not an enforcement agency, it's an agency that oversees securities and the exchanges, the New York Stock Exchange and so forth, and they sue, they file complaints, they do not arrest. But, you know, the job of a prosecutor, the job of a district attorney is not to convict. The job is to see that justice is done. So a DA has done his job if a man that they thought was guilty is found not guilty, and they, as the district attorney, they determine that themselves as well as the defense. So
what?
Never mind. I ain't going to say it again. We'll be right back. World Famous Phil Hendry Show with our news and information hour next.
From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Thank you. This portion of the Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. If you want a steak, I mean, if you want the best meat you've ever had that passed between your lips,
here at Ted's,
that's the place.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
Sports of the Phil Hendry Show brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills, and welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. You're invited to participate in the conversation tonight. Ted Bell joining us about a very deadly serious topic, Ted, without any question.
It's very serious for the state. I think the entire country needs to take it seriously.
That is the $10 billion budget shortfall that the state of California has. Now, we recognize that it's important for California, just as any budget shortfall would be important for any state. But why should the country, for that matter, care about that?
Well, Phil, I think that the United States, the American people, have a vested interest in California in much the same way that we all had a vested interest in New York. We saw what happened in New York on 9/11. It was something that shocked each and every one of us. I don't think it's anything we're ever going to forget about, and certainly will stay with us for the rest of our lives. But the same token, by the very same token, California is that symbol, whereas New York is the Big Apple, California is the promised land. Whereas New York is the center of commerce and trade, California is the center of our, it's the center of our hopes and our dreams and our futures. Whereas New York is, in many ways, the embodied history of the United States, California is the embodied future of the United States. Why do I say this? Because, as you mentioned, Bill, and I think it transcends governors, to be honest with you. We have Jerry Brown, who is the governor of this state. I don't particularly like him, but that's not anything that I wanted to come on this program. Jerry Brown is Jerry Brown.
And well, we're not. You don't want to turn this into a political thing, do you?
No, what I'm saying is the state has a $10 billion budget shortfall. The state, there's a difference between, and I don't mean to talk down, I'm sure people do understand what it is I've tried to say, but there's a difference between what the money is that California has and how much we need. The difference is $10 billion. How can we make this up? Well, we can continue to fire people, and we can continue to...
Let's talk about, what about the illegal alien situation?
All right, hold on for just a minute, okay? That is politically charged, and you don't want to go there. It's politically charged, you don't want to go there.
And if you're asking for the $10 billion, Ted, okay,
yes.
Why can't we put everything on the table as to what it is that we need to get rid of?
You don't want to, the illegal alien question is filled with lots of pitfalls, there's a lot of mines, there's a lot of traps, there's a lot of potholes. Don't go there. Don't go there. You know how many businesses there are in the state of California that do rely on the illegal alien? If you take them out of here, you might as well take the entire state and flush it down a toilet. And I know that's not what the American people want to do.
Wait, I don't accept that, okay?
Well, I don't care what you accept.
I will not accept that this status here of the millions of illegals that are here that are being paid for, regardless of whether or not they're working, regardless of whether or not they're putting taxes into the system. The fact is, there are social services that go to support people that are not legally in the United States. Now, you're going to have people asking questions like that. If you're asking the American people, which is this what I'm leading, what you're leading up to?
What I'm leading up? You just said you're leading up to what?
Are you leading up to the...
I'll tell you, yes, that's what I'm leading up to. The American people need desperately to begin to see the reality of this situation. We can't afford to refuse to accept the situation.
And why is this the American people in total? Why is that their problem?
Because, again, as I told you, America, California is the shining city on the hill. California has been the future of this country for so many years, for so long, and it is a country that must recognize this. We are asking that the American people, through their largesse, through their well-known charity, through their ability to see when there is a problem, yes, we're asking that this shortfall be made up in terms of a federal tax so that California makes its $10 billion and can continue to function well into the future.
And how would this money be acquired?
Well, you're saying that in a very, excuse me for saying this, Phil, but I want to just, you're very sober when you say that. I thought you were going to attack me again with the illegal alien thing.
Well, it's not an attack, Ted, but I'm telling you, people are going to
No, I know what people are, I'll deal with what people say. I don't think it's a very difficult argument to have with anybody. They're going to say, oh, what about the illegal aliens and how much they cost? You know how you deal with that? You know what you say to people when they say, what about all the illegal aliens in California and how much they cost? Why don't you put a control on that before you ask us for $10 billion? You know how you deal with that?
How?
You say to them, guess what? That's a political hot potato. That is an atomic bomb. Don't go near it. Don't go near it. That's how you deal with that.
And people aren't going to take that for an answer.
Yeah. Well, no. Yes, they will take it for an answer because it's a political hot potato. Now, California is facing a budget crisis, and the idea here is to federally tax the income tax returns of Americans till we make up the $10 billion. It could be a set fee, a flat fee, a percentage.
And is this something that we pass by way of law? Is there a referendum? What do you see? How do you propose to go to the American people and say, oh, and by the way, you are going to make up the $10 billion shortfall for the state of California?
You say it the same way. You ask people, would you pay money for the Statue of Liberty to get it fixed? Yes. Would you pay money for the Capitol building? Yes. Would you?
You're putting California.
Hold on for a minute. Would you pay money to fix the Lincoln Memorial? Yes. Would you pay money to fix the Jefferson Memorial? Yes. Would you pay money to fix California? Yes.
And so you're putting California on the same plane as the Lincoln Memorial? And
yes, of course I am. Why? I think that an argument can be made that.
What about all the other states that may have a budget shortfall?
Name one.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, most certainly. To name one.
Missouri.
Missouri is not. Boy, you really want to go there, don't you?
You said to name one, okay? Are you going to tell me that California is like the Lincoln Memorial, but Missouri isn't?
No, Missouri is not. Missouri is a great state. But it's no one thinks of Missouri when you think of a state that equals the Washington Monument. No state equals the Washington Monument except a few. California, the state of New York, perhaps. I don't know. It's very Texas. You know.
So you're naming off states that seem to have some currency in the lore of American history.
Well, that's a very fancy way of saying states that were important to the history of this country.
All the states were important to the history of this country. You talk about Missouri, it was central to the history of this country for a great many years.
Yeah, if you want to go back 150 years, Phil, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to be reasonable, and I'm trying to tell the people that are listening to your broadcast tonight that when they look at the state of California in much the same way that one might look at the state of Texas, if you will, or Alaska, or Yosemite National Park, the Grand Tetons, Mount Rushmore. These are institutions. California is that, and I don't think it's a very high price to pay to know that you live in a country with a California. To come up with the money that we need to make sure that California does not go bust, to make up that $10 billion shortfall. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's one businessman out here in California, Ted, from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Be mighty glad you did. And that's what we're asking.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The proposition here that the American taxpayer, it's not going to happen.
Why do you say that?
Well, you're not going to get people. People are so anti-tax right now that to say to them $10 billion in new taxes for the state of California that you're going to take out of the people. Okay, Washington State has a budget shortfall of $5.3 billion. What do you think about we kick in for Washington?
What was the state again?
Washington State.
You know, Phil, with all due respect, if you're trying to get me to insult Washington State, and
no, I'm asking you, if California is deserving of the money, why isn't Washington State?
That's not California. I don't think I do. I gotta point that out. Washington State is Washington State. What do you think of when you think of Washington State? I think of apples. That's about it.
I think of Seattle. I think of the Space Needle.
No, you don't think of the Space Needle. Yes,
I do, when I think of Washington State.
You think of apples. Apples. That's what you think of. Apples. Big, ripe, big, you know, the big apples they got. That's what you think of. When you think of California, what do you think of? Movie stars, the film business. You think about without California, there wouldn't have been television. Without California, there was no film business. And quite frankly, Phil, without California, you don't have an agricultural industry. And
How do you say that? Okay, that, you could probably make an argument for the other things you said.
I'll tell you how you say that. California showed the rest of the country how to grow stuff right. You know, for the longest time, the United States was a great. We've always been a great country when it came to agriculture. Always a great country when it came to growing things. But we didn't know our. Excuse me for saying this. We didn't know our ass from a hole in the ground until California, in the San Joaquin Valley, started to grow stuff, and we grew, and the stuff we grow, and the apples and all, everything. You talk about the apples they have in Washington. I don't know anything about agriculture, okay? You've got me at a disadvantage. But I will tell you this. California, as an industry, showed the rest of the world, here's how you grow a crop, okay? You people have been walking around with your thumbs parked for centuries. Now we're going to show you here, wheat. This is how you see? Look at that. There's a corn on the cob. That's what we did. How do you build a road? California finally said, can we show you how to build a road? Because we've been butchering that job, too. How do you build a building? Can we show you how to build a building so it doesn't fall down? Can we show you how to... I mean, You name it, California has taught the world. And what do we get in return? We're insulted. We're told we're drug addicts. We're told we're flakes. We're told we're rapists and murderers and serial murderers. That's what we get. No respect. No one to say thank you, California, for showing the way. Thank you for being the land of milk and honey. Thank you for being the leader when it came to showing the world how to do stuff like take a picture, build a toilet, you name it.
Well, I mean, if it wasn't for California, then human civilization would never have progressed.
I'm not saying that. What I'm trying to say is that many of those innovations came from this state. So the federal government needs to make up that $10 billion shortfall with the tax dollars of the American citizen, with our thanks, with our apologies, but more with our saying, you know, it's about time. Well, I don't want to say that.
Yeah, about time. You know, you're going to get a lot of people just hate California more than they do.
Well, no, I am not.
Yes, you are, by saying it's about time. 877-876-PHIL, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. This segment sponsored by Ted's of Beverly Hills, a great steakhouse in Beverly Hills. And we're talking about California's $10 billion budget shortfall. How do we make it up? In the mind of Ted and others, a federal tax. That means you, Mr. and Mrs. Taxpayer, you make it up, because California has been, for so long, the leader, the trendsetter, the industrial leader, the agricultural leader, the commercial leader, for a very, very long time. It is a symbol of this country, not unlike the Lincoln Memorial. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with more here. Ted Bell wanting non-California residents to be taxed to fix the state's budget problem. What do you think about his idea? Would you ever allow a portion of your paycheck to fix California? 877-877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
And this portion of the Phil Henry Show brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. And this quarter hour, we're going to talk about the 50 states and why America really needs to help California make up that budget shortfall. We'll tell you about the other states in the United States.
Ted Bell with us here. Now, you wanted to do what?
What I wanted to do is something different. I've got a list of the 50 states. And when you think of California, and what are we talking about this hour in the Phil Henry Show here with Ted Bell? What we're talking about, really, Phil, is the fact that California, in all of the many ways that California does business, in the many ways that California enjoys itself, we represent the very finest, the very furthest, the very highest of achievement. If California is to survive, America really needs to help out.
And well, there's no real, I do see precedent, obviously. There's been a stimulus that's helped out business.
Koch went to the federal government and asked money for New York, and they told him to drop dead and blow away. That was the worst, and I think America can make it up now. For a state like California to go begging, while the rest of these states talk about how solvent they are, well, of course you're solvent. You've got three people. You know, it doesn't make any sense. We've got more people than any other state in this country. And, you know, and we've given people more fun. The things we've done, and the fact that we have to beg.
Well, California, there's nothing in the Constitution that says people are supposed to donate money to California.
What I'm saying is, no, there's nothing in the Constitution. I know there's nothing in the Constitution.
All right, but you're talking about how California's got to beg. I mean, no, they don't. They can simply do business so they make up the $10 billion.
Oh, simply do business to make up the $10 billion. How do you do that, okay?
Well, one of the things that's going on that I absolutely agree with, they are not going to pay the California legislators until they come up with a balanced budget.
They're going Exactly. They're going to, those people are going to go home starving to death. That is not a way to do business.
Yes, it is. You tell those people, that's why we elected you, balance that budget.
No, they can't. And if they can't, then what?
Then you don't pay them.
And then they don't get paid, and then their families don't eat, and now you have, you've got dead bodies in a house in Sacramento. Do you want that?
What are you talking about?
Did you just say they're not going to pay the California legislators?
Yeah.
You've got dead, rotting bodies in Sacramento. That's what you want. That's what everybody in America...
What dead, rotting bodies?
The California legislators that...
Oh, come on, man. Some of these people get... Come on.
Oh, come on, man. You know, Phil, don't bite off more than you can... Well, I won't say. But...
You know, no, Ted, I'll tell you what. Don't you bite off more than you can chew. You're talking about the California legislators took a job... If they can't balance that budget, you can't go to the rest of the country and say, hey, we're so sorry, we can't balance our budget.
What did you say, balance? What is that, balance?
Balance the budget. Can you help us with that so that, A, we balance our budget, and, B, our California legislators don't have to stop being paid? And to say that because they don't get paid, they'll be dead, rotting bodies.
Did you hear the... Apparently you don't stay close to the news. Did you hear about Casey Anthony? You know that.
Where are we going now?
I'm asking. I'm the sponsor this hour. Would you humor me, Phil? Did you hear about Casey Anthony?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Well, you know they could smell a dead body in the car. You know that?
Yeah.
Is that what you want to smell in Sacramento?
You're not going to have that kind of disaster on your hands if you don't pay the California state legislators their money. You're not going to have dead, rotting bodies.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Hildon. You, Quincy. You know, for all of the stuff that I...
You're not going to... Ted, don't be an ass, all right?
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you that are listening right now, you're a witness. You're a witness. The man whose show I sponsor just called me an ass.
Don't be an ass coming up with asinine scenarios about what's going to happen to people if they don't get paid. You know, a lot of people don't get paid. Go on unemployment. How about that?
Unemployment doesn't pay for tap water. You know it and I know it. All I'm saying is let's have some respect for our legislators. It's a tough job. We need help from the country. We demand help from the country.
You demand tax dollars from the American people.
That's exactly... You know what? You've got Hollywood Boulevard. Put it on the screen. Do it.
Excuse me?
I told you to do it. Now do it.
Do what?
You've got a video cast going, right?
Yeah.
And there's Hollywood Boulevard?
Yeah.
Put it on the screen. I told you to put it on the screen.
No, I'm not taking orders from you just because you sponsor an hour. Now, you're going to have to ask me nice.
What?
Ask me nice. I want you to stand there in that gay white suit you're wearing tonight and ask me nice.
Will you please put Hollywood Boulevard on your screen?
There it is.
All right, there. You see that dead, dead city? You see how dead that is? That's Hollywood. That's Hollywood, California. That is where dreams are made. That's... You look at how dead that... Oh, you got it on pause.
I do. As a matter of fact, excuse me. Let me just... I apologize. I did have it on pause. And it should be back to normal now.
You made me look like an ass?
I didn't know...
Well, right in the middle of the screen, it said click to play. What a...
We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL. And we also want to get your input on whether or not the United States, the taxpayers of the United States, should bail out California $10 billion budget shortfall. Ted Bell will be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
You made me look like an ass.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. You know, tonight on the Phil Hendry Show, we're going to take a look at all 50 states and tell you what they have to offer as opposed to California. Let's see if we can get some money made
here at Ted's
in Beverly Hills.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
All right, we're going to run down that list, but Ted, you were saying to me that California, we're looking at a picture of Hollywood, and there's nobody there, so therefore what?
The economy is bad. California has driven tourism for just many, many years. Now, what do we look at when we see the streets of Hollywood? To quote that character in Malcolm X, dead, dead, dead. You is dead. Remember that when he said you is dead?
And yeah, I remember that. I don't know that it necessarily pertains here.
It's a quote from a movie, Bill. I'm not trying to make any comment racial.
I understand.
I'm simply saying that the United States, the American taxpayer, for all that they have sucked out of the state of California, like babies sucking out of a bottle. I mean, if you look at California and you look at the rest of the United States, the American taxpayers, we're all a bunch of babies sucking at the nipple of California. Just the rest of the states are one big fat, really fat baby, overweight baby, and California is a bottle of never-ending milk, and there is the baby laying on its back, the big fat slob of a baby.
What baby is a slob?
Well, no baby is a slob, unless that baby are the other 49 states, and that is one fat. Have you ever seen, I don't know if you've ever been online, but you can go and enter in fat baby in Google and hit images, and you see these children with the big, thick arms, and they've got a big bowl of slop. I don't know who feeds them, but...
Whatever it is you're talking about, you know, I think you made your point.
Well, the point is that California's the milk bottle.
Yeah, and the other 49 states are a big, fat slob of a baby sucking off of it.
Yes. God.
877-876-PHIL. We will roll down that list of states from Ted here in just a moment. Let's get to some phone calls here tonight. Travis, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show, Travis.
I just like to comment on the fact that I just don't think it's right that any other state should have to pay for one state's debt. You know, California is not the only state in debt. And let alone, you know, the people. Everybody's going through a hard time in the economy right now, and I just really don't think that would be right.
What's wrong, Ted?
I knew I'd get a call like this. With all due respect to the gentleman, I understand what you're saying, sir, but I've tried to make the point here over the last few minutes that California's not just any other state.
Right.
California.
Not just the leading state either. And you did make the comment a few minutes ago about you have the most people than any other state.
Well, yes, sir.
Okay. I mean, it's just, if you have the most people than any other state, then why can't the most people of any other state donate $2, $5, $10, whatever the case may be, and pull it out of, you know, your debt? And, you know,
what?
I don't know how.
Pull it out of my what?
May not pull out of the debt. Ain't we talking about debt here?
Yes, sir, I know. But we're talking $10 billion. And what we were saying here, just like the stimulus, just like the monies that, you know, that go federally, we were hoping the people of the United States would. Some sort of a tax would, and then that way you pay for it. And I know what you're saying. You're saying it's not fair. I got you. But I'm countering by saying that California is sort of like the Lincoln Memorial.
Well, you know, may I jump in?
Yes.
What's that?
Let me jump in here, gentlemen. To say that California is like the Lincoln Memorial, that's all of a sudden saying that it's not an equal partner in this union. I mean, it's not. Every state in the union is an equal partner.
Oh, my rear end. You know that we put more money. California puts more money in.
No, no, no. Hold on for a minute. Every American is paying taxes at the rate that he is federally charged. Every American pays taxes at the rate that they pay taxes. So to say that California somehow is more entitled to federal relief when Washington has a $5.3 billion shortfall.
Okay, perfect. I'm glad you brought that up. Let me ask this gentleman, Travis. When you think of Washington State, Travis, what do you think of?
Cold and wet.
There you go. Cold and wet. You going to put $5 billion into that? Not me. No, thank you.
What are you talking about, man?
I'm not putting $5.3 billion into something that's like the inside of someone's you-know-what. That's what this gentleman just said.
The inside of someone's you-know-what?
Yes, cold and wet. So what I would rather do...
All right, look, Travis, thank you very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. 877-876-7445. You going to do this list of states?
Hold on. I wasn't even done talking, and you... Did you hang up on the caller?
I had to move on, yeah.
Well, the gentleman said cold and wet, and he was on, when he said that, I was about to, he was going to be my ally in attacking your stand, which is that Washington State is somehow equally entitled to tax dollars. He said cold and wet, and that reminded me of, like, the inside of someone's, well, I can't say it.
Okay, and what?
Oh, boy. What's better? What's better? All right, what's better? I'm going to have to say this right. A masculine, muscular, you-know-what, or something wet and damp.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to David. Hi, David. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell as we talk about the California budget shortfall and how the rest of the country is supposed to make up for that. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing, guys?
Yes, sir. Good.
How are you? I'm a truck driver out of Cincinnati, and
yes, sir.
I don't have a problem with paying my tax dollars. I make a really, really good living, and you know what? I understand California is in a deficit, but you know what? So
right.
are the other 50 states. You know, and
That's
we need to
point.
Worry. I don't have a problem with taking tax dollars to help other states, but it needs to be a state that's in a state of emergency. What about the people in Joplin? They lost, what, 150, 155 people? Joplin, Missouri.
That's a very good point.
Wiped out.
That's a very good point.
Well,
What about a tough call, but
what have they given the rest of the country? And what I was going to do, David, well, you know, you can say that Mississippi's had a hard time. You can say that Missouri has, and they have, and they deserve help. But I'm talking about something more than emergency dollars. I'm talking about actual helping with the budget windfall, the shortfall, because Missouri at the end of the day and Mississippi at the end of the day haven't really done for the country what California has had. Let's talk about it. California, here I come, right back where I started from. You know that song?
Okay, I understand that.
Okay, you know that song. Okay, now listen to this. Here we go. Alabama, and I actually had some music I wanted to play because I think it's, here we go. Alabama, all right? Now, when you talk about Alabama, Dave, what do you think of? You got it, rednecks. Alaska, what do you think of? Eskimos. Arizona, old people, meth addicts. Arkansas. You go all the way down the line. Then you come to California, what do you think of? Beautiful oceans, hot-looking women. Okay. Then we go to Colorado, pot. Connecticut, old people. Delaware, even older people. Florida, death. Georgia.
All right, we got the point.
Right.
We got the point.
I understand all of that.
And
every state has its ups and downs. But you need, you know, the people in the United States, we do need to pull together and we do need to help each other. But we need to take care of states that are in a state of emergency.
I agree with that.
Taxpayers can't pay enough taxes to support the deficit. Every state has a deficit. But we need to take care of the states that are in a state of emergency. Not
when you think of
overspending.
Let's talk about this. When you think of the state of, let's talk about, okay, Washington. What do you think of when you think of Washington?
Oh, will you come on already?
No, I'm asking the guy. What do you think of when you think of Washington,
right,
sir?
Off the top of my head, it's a nice place to visit, and they do have good apples. I wouldn't want to live there. But
thank you. There you go. I wouldn't want to live there. That's all I needed to hear. I wouldn't want to live there. Why would I want to pay for it, right? Now, when we talk about California.
Ohio's my
home.
That's my stomping ground.
Okay.
Is Ohio.
Now, what do you think of when you think of Ohio?
Oh, come on, will you?
What do you think of when you think of Ohio?
I think of the Cincinnati Reds.
What?
Well, did you ask me a question?
The Cincinnati Reds.
Did you ask me a question or did you not?
Yes.
The Cincinnati Reds.
Well,
what do you think of?
Buckeyes.
What is a Buckeye?
I don't know.
Okay, anyway, Dave. What is a Buckeye, Dave?
He doesn't know. You don't know what it is. You'll bet it's a nut.
All right, thanks very much for your call. 877. Thank you, David, and safe travels. 877-876-7445. Here is Bill in Bakersfield. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, sir. Thank you.
My thing is this. I'm living in California. We don't need any other state to bail us out. We need to fix our own problem. Fix the illegal immigration problem here in the state of California, and it will fix itself.
You can't go near that. You can't go near that.
There's the guy just said, illegal immigration.
I told you, it's a political hot potato.
27% of our inmate population are illegal aliens at a cost of $52,000 per year per inmate, and that's provided if they don't get sick.
Our enemy population? What does he mean?
Inmate.
Inmate.
No, you got it all wrong. You got it all wrong.
No, I don't have it all wrong. I just spent 25 years in the prison system. I know exactly what I'm talking about.
Were you a prisoner?
Pardon me?
Were you a prisoner?
No, I was not a prisoner.
Well, I mean, he's...
Maybe he worked for the...
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I apologize. You were a corrections officer, correct?
Yes, I was. Lieutenant.
Was he a prisoner?
I didn't know.
All right, and you saw a lot of, but of course, as a corrections officer, you don't really know who's legal or who's illegal, Bill, do you?
Yes, we do.
You do?
Yes.
Well, you can't go near it, Bill. It's a political hot potato. It's just, you don't want to go near that. If you go near that, it's like going near a bad smell. It's just going to be all over you. Don't go near that. Let's talk about how California deserves the money over a place like Vermont.
See,
what's Vermont got?
That's the problem we have. Our politicians are scared right now. Well, let's not touch that. We may not get reelected. You know what? Get a politician up there that has something that they can contribute. Don't be scared. Don't be scared that you're going to make the other party scared or mad.
It's not fear. It's simply saying when a guy says illegal alien, the first thing you think of is don't go near it.
Well, we've got to start to go near these questions.
Don't go near it.
No, we got to start.
You can't go near it.
Several years ago when we passed Proposition 187 and all that.
Oh, no one knows what that is.
Anybody in the California that's here illegally is not entitled to benefits. That's the only thing that said. They turned it into a big racial
thing. No one knows what that is.
That was the original. That was the original referendum that beat Arizona. You know, but there were some constitutional issues with that. Anyway, thank you very much, Bill, for your call. World famous Phil Hendry show here. And
oh, so you disagree with the guy? Constitutional issues, and then you get rid of his phone call. Anyway, thanks a lot.
I have to move on, okay?
Yeah, but you were disagreeing with him there.
Yeah, I was, but frankly, the disagreement came up at a time where we do have to move on.
All right, I wanted to finish up here, Phil, just very, very quickly for the people that did not hear what we were doing and what we're talking about here. Let me just have Brett Dickman, or what's his name, Dickman?
Dickman.
Start it again, and let's thank you. Here we go. The 50 states, the United States of America. Let's run down the 50 states. Alabama, what do you think of? Rednecks. Alaska, what do you think of? Rednecks and Eskimos. Arizona, what do you think of? Rednecks and meth addicts.
All right, come on. We got to get going, all right?
I beg your pardon? Turn the music off. What did you say to me?
I said we got to get going. Sorry, but we do. I got to take a break.
Yeah, fine.
877, now I feel bad. 877-876-PHIL.
No, it's okay.
877-876-7445. We'll be back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
What a putt.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Tonight we're open until 1 a.m. We serve until, well, we stop serving. But we are open until 1 a.m. That's another 2.5 hours. So you can come in and drink.
Here at 10.
Which, of course, we would rather you not drink and drive, but I know how it is.
Now, what kind of a commercial is that?
Excuse me, I'm the sponsor. Oh, boy. I'm the sponsor.
I understand. I'm sorry.
Would you mind? All right, back it up, please. Play it again.
Wait. I'll tell him to play it again.
Well, I'm not going to have you say something like that.
Ted, you said, come on in and drink, which, of course, I don't want you to drink and drive, but I know how it is.
Oh, my God, and then you repeat it? Play it again.
All right, Bud, go ahead, play it again. He's deserving of another... Sorry.
Right away, Mr. Bell.
Thank you.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
I don't know what Phil Hendry thought he was playing at, but... but no, you don't do that to me, Ted Bell. Come on in. We've stopped serving. We're serving booze till 1. Don't drink and drive.
Here at 10.
God.
I apologize.
Just don't, you know, you don't have to second guess what I'm saying. All right. Here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, I'm Ted Bell. I'm sponsoring the final segment of this, and I'm going to try and get my money's worth out of this because for the last, I don't know what you'd call it, 52 minutes, Hendry and his listeners have tried to hold me down over the hood of a car outside of town.
Whoa, man.
Well, you're telling me that you haven't?
We've given you a fair hearing.
All right, hit it, bud. This is Foxy, one of the very first gay disco bands.
Uh-huh.
I just thought I'd say that. And what we want to do is run through the 50 states, all 50 states, and why California's got it all over them. All right, where were we? Alabama, rednecks, Alaska, Eskimos and weed. Actually, Eskimos and alcoholics. Arizona, meth addicts and old people. Arkansas, the Clintons. Did you get that, Phil, the Clintons?
Yeah, that's great.
Huh. Colorado, dope, hippies, the Rocky Mountains, that's Connecticut, I don't know. Delaware, I don't know what happens in Delaware, but I know that some guy dumped a woman off the, some kind of a murder was committed there. Florida, lots of murders. Georgia, chain gangs. Hawaii, dope and rainbows. Idaho, potatoes and dope. Illinois, Lincoln. Big wow, I mean, Lincoln's a great guy. Indiana, the Hoosiers, Larry Bird, you get it. Iowa, hurricanes, tornadoes, a farm, another tornado, another farm, another tornado. Kansas, Dorothy, Kentucky, colonels, fried chicken, Louisiana, or Louisiana. Two words, Hurricane Katrina. Then we have Maryland, Baltimore, Massachusetts, Baltimore, Michigan, Detroit, Minnesota, not much, but Lakes and Ludifus, or Ludacris, Mississippi, chain gangs, Missouri, chain gangs, Montana, Colt chain gangs, Nebraska.
All right, I get the idea. God, I get the idea, man.
Well, you understand what I'm saying.
What I hear from you is just a very quick and smart-ass dismissal of all of the states. Michigan, Detroit.
You call that any bargain?
And what is lutefisk?
Now, what's that stuff they eat in Minnesota, the fish?
I don't know, fish.
No, that crap, that Norwegian crap they eat. Anyway, North Dakota, Ohio, Buckeyes. I asked the guy, what is it? He said it's a nut. And they said...
Standing, people are not going to devote tax dollars to just one state, Ted. It's not going to happen.
Okay, Father Hendry, thank you. Thank you for blowing off the hopes of a lot of people tonight. The state of California has meant an awful lot to a lot of people, Phil. And I wish at this particular point you had some music that was fitting, because I want to do a tribute. I want to do a tribute to a great state. A state that at one time might have been something. A state that at one time might have been... much more than something. It might have been anything. Much more than anything. It might have been the thing. What is this, the Atlantis theme?
What the hell you want from it?
God almighty. Anyway, California is a place that I think a lot of dreams come to and die here. But at least, anyway.
All right, well, Ted, thank you very much. I think you did all that you could to destroy your idea.
I didn't destroy anything, my fine feathered friend.
Do we have time for this call? Let's see. Let's go over here to Richard. Go ahead, Richard. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I want to ask why, if California created the problem that they're in right now by electing officials that didn't care anything about spending money, if it was me and I couldn't pay my bill, would someone come balance my checkbook so that I could have money to pay my bills? I don't think so.
If you were cool enough, no, if you were cool enough, that's what we're saying.
If
you were cool
what?
Enough. Cool enough, if you were, if we liked you.
You said Connecticut was old people. I'm afraid
yes.
to tell you this. I am from Connecticut. I am a truck driver
well,
trying to make a living
that's
out of
that, that's a strike against you then. I wouldn't want to pay for you then. I'm sorry. I thought he said he was cool, but he's obviously not cool enough.